From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, February 26th, 2021. Maine could receive $1.6 billion from the massive coronavirus relief bill Democrats are steering through Congress. The money would be split between the state and local governments. Steve Missler has more.
The funding is eagerly awaited by state and local officials who say the money is needed to continue providing services, roll out vaccines, and resurrect economies hobbled by the pandemic. The slug of funding could also help Democratic Governor Janet Mills navigate a political stalemate with legislative Republicans over taxes on pandemic loans to businesses. But that will largely depend on when the money arrives and whether Congress further limits how it can be spent. The funding is included in a $350 billion provision that's part of a $1.9 trillion spending package proposed by the Biden administration, now working its way through Congress. Democratic leaders are targeting March 10th for final passage of the bill. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
After months of waiting, those seeking rent relief can apply for benefits from the state beginning at noon on Monday. The state launched several smaller rent relief programs last year, but officials say the latest program, which is funded by $200 million in federal funds, is far more comprehensive. It can pay for up to 12 months of rent and some utilities going back to last March, plus up to 3 months of upcoming expenses. Greg Payne with the Maine Affordable Housing Coalition says it's important that both tenants and landlords are made aware of the program.
But if those things can happen, it's hard to overstate just how important the rollout of these new relief dollars is going to be for a whole lot of Maine people.
Funding for the program was included in a federal relief bill passed in December, but state officials have said they've been waiting on federal guidelines before taking applications. Maine Housing says it received those updated guidelines on Monday. Renters and landlords can get more information about the program at mainehousing.org and can also call 1-800-452-4668 to apply on Monday. People 70 and older can now make appointments to get the COVID-19 vaccine at the Portland Expo. The high-volume clinic will be open starting next Tuesday and Thursday. It's being run by Northern Light Mercy Hospital, and appointments can be made at covid.northernlighthealth.org. Eligibility for the COVID-19 vaccine in Maine will now be based on age. Governor Janet Mills made the announcement today, saying the strategy focuses on the strongest predictor of who is most likely to get seriously ill or die from COVID-19. State officials say it will also allow Maine to move through the vaccination rollout more quickly, starting with people age 60 and up who will become eligible next week. Patty White reports.
If you've been wondering where you fit into the vaccine rollout, the answer has suddenly become much simpler. Priority won't be based on high-risk medical conditions or the type of job you have. It will be based solely on age. And starting Wednesday, March 3rd, Mainers 60 and older will be eligible. Each month after, says Governor Mills, the next age bracket will become eligible.
Opening up vaccinations to those who are 50 years or older in April, and then 40 years or older in May, 30 years of age and older in June, with anyone younger than that becoming eligible in July.
That's a shift from U.S. CDC recommendations and Maine's previous rollout plan, which would have next vaccinated people 65 and older, then moved to people with high-risk medical conditions and frontline workers. So why the switch? State CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says consider this basic question.
And that question is this. If you were a doctor and you had a patient with COVID-19 sitting in front of you, and you wanted to understand that patient's risk of death or severe disease because of their COVID-19 illness, what is the most important piece of data that you would need?
The answer, says Shah, is age.
In our state, 98% of deaths from COVID-19 have been among people aged 50 and older.
even after combing through scientific data to examine the risk for certain medical conditions, Shaw says the most important factor consistently boils down to how old you are. And given that Maine has the highest median age of any state, he says, eligibility by age is the right strategy.
This age-based approach is what will be best for Maine in terms of saving the most number of lives in the shortest amount of time.
It's also an approach that's different from most other states. In New England, Connecticut is the only other state that's adopted an age-based strategy. But Mills says several other governors have recently indicated that they may follow suit. Not only does the approach focus on those most at risk for serious illness and death, she says, it's easier for vaccinators to determine eligibility.
Rather than try to figure out which underlying medical conditions are at greater risk than others.
Or verify what kind of job a person has. Still, Mills says she knows some people will be disappointed. Teachers in particular have been pressing the governor to open up eligibility for them. And though they'll have to follow Maine's new age-based strategy, Jean Lambrew of the Department of Health and Human Services says she's working with the Department of Education to establish dedicated clinics for pre-K through 12 school staff.
The governor hopes that by providing dedicated opportunities for vaccination for age-eligible teachers, on top of their option to go to existing sites, Maine can further protect school staff moving forward.
When asked whether any exceptions to the age-based strategy could be made for people with particularly high-risk medical conditions, Lambrew says the state has to take a public health approach, which is based on populations.
We don't have the ability or the capacity to go one by one to do eligibility determinations. These are hard decisions. But we went with the science, and that's why we took these groups and made them eligible first.
It opens the doors next week to an additional 200,000 people in Maine who are 60 and older. State officials say this group should not attempt to make appointments until they officially become eligible next Wednesday. Maine will continue to vaccinate people 70 and older. As of Friday, more than 60% of people in that age group had at least received a first dose. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
No new COVID-19 deaths were reported by the Maine Center for Disease Control today. The break comes after 2 days of double-digit increases, nearly all of which stemmed from the agency's review of vital records earlier in the year. The Maine CDC reports 178 new cases today. Republican State Senator Marianne Moore of Calais is calling for a legislative probe of how the Maine Wild Blueberry Commission is spending its marketing money. Mal Leary reports.
Moore says the commission gets hundreds of thousands of dollars from a tax on producers and processors, and that $900,000 a year is passed on to the North American Blueberry Council to pay for national marketing of blueberries. Moore told the Government Oversight Committee there are concerns among some in the industry that not enough effort is being made to promote Maine blueberries.
There's not enough marketing being generated for Maine wild blueberries. And that is our concern. And there's not a lot of transparencies between the two operations as well.
The committee took no action on Moore's request, but did ask the legislature's Agriculture Committee to recommend whether there should be an investigation of the commission and its operations. Moore says Maine wild blueberries should be marketed separately from the general ad campaigns touting the benefits of eating blueberries. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Secretary of State Shenna Bellows told a congressional committee Thursday that Maine's election laws drive voter participation and could be a model for voter access laws across the country.
That's because our laws and policies, many of which are consistent with the provisions of H.R. 1, have encouraged broad participation in elections and public service by people from diverse backgrounds and walks of life.
Bellows spoke before the Congressional Committee on House Administration in support of H.R. 1. The Democratic-led bill aims to reduce the power of money in politics while expanding voter accessibility. Bellows touted the bill as an extension of Maine policies already in place: same-day voter registration, voting rights for people who are incarcerated or have been incarcerated, no-excuse absentee voting, and absentee voting at least 30 days prior to Election Day, and more. Bellows says H.R. 1 also provides additional resources for states like Maine to make technological improvements to increase the ease of voting for rural residents. And after nearly a decade of trying, Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree has succeeded in getting the U.S. House to agree to add the York River to the National Park Service's Wild and Scenic List. Pingree says if also approved by the Senate, the designation will bolster the efforts of the communities along the river to preserve the watershed that's important to fish and other wildlife, and much more.
We don't tend to often think about the importance of it, but, you know, the water supply for a couple of these communities come from there. There are important salt marshes that help in flood mitigation. There's working waterfront.
The First District Democrat says the designation would make communities along the York River eligible for technical assistance from the National Park Service and for federal grant money for projects that maintain the watershed. Now, in a look at the weather, tonight, clear with some clouds coming into the southern part of the state, lows 11 to the mid-20s north to south. Tomorrow, we'll see some snow starting at around mid-morning or so before turning to rain in the evening, about 1 to 3 inches for interior Maine, 3 to 5 inches further north and in the mountains, highs 32 to 45 degrees north to south. Sunday's looking a lot nicer, partly cloudy, highs up to 35 all the way to the high 40s along the coast. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Have a great weekend.